Here's the scriptures I want to read to you. They're in Proverbs again. I want you to go back there with me. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to break in at verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Do you know what you ought to do with them? You are to wrap them. Bind them. The scripture says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil, and this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your soul. In a few moments, I'd like to open those verses out to you. I am confused, very confused. And some of the doctors are very confused because they are going to commit a criminal act if they don't use the correct pronoun to the patient. Because of the transgender problem, do they say he or she? Because they're not sure. And the man who wants to be the next Prime Minister, Keith Starmer, he was going to be, well, he was the chief prosecutor in the kingdom, the highest. You couldn't get better than that. And he doesn't know how to define a woman. He can't give you an answer. And I'm living in a world where they're telling me, and now the NHS are going to have some rules about when you're in hospital or when you go for treatment and so on. It's called the woke world in which we are living, and the transgender problem and so on. I'm confused. And I'm confused. If you supported West Ham, do you ever support West Ham? No. What's their motto? You supported West Ham. Can you please stand for 1 minute silence? I'm forever blowing. Yeah. So when you hear that song, I'm forever blowing, sorry about this. It's our football team is West Ham, and that's their theme song. They blow bubbles out when they come out. You don't support West Ham, do you? No. Have you ever chased a bubble? One of the big things we used to do for my handicapped son and for my other children is blow bubbles and go and get them to chase the bubble. But you know, if you chase the bubble, what happens when you put your hand on it? It's gone. It's gone. And you can stamp on them. They can land at your feet. But the minute you have a bubble and you catch it, it disappears. And they turn to nothing in your fingers. And now they teach me a lesson about what is life about. And they teach me a lesson because they ask me a question. What matters to me? What matters to you? What motivates our life? What are we spending all our time and energy striving to do? And is it worth it? Is it right? Will it last? Or are we, as individuals, as a community, as a nation, just chasing a bubble that will burst and be nothing? Do you know the story of Sarah Winchester? The very name should give you a clue. Her husband made a fortune by manufacturing and selling rifles, weapons, to kill, weapons for war, or whatever. And in 1918, he died of influenza. And Sarah, his wife, sought and found a medium, a spiritist medium. I wanted to make a contact through the medium with her dead husband. And the medium told her, as long as you keep building your home, you see, you will never face death yourself. So Sarah Winchester believed that, bought an unfinished 17-room mansion, and the project went on and on until her death. And she died 85 years of age. It cost then $5 million. And wages at that time were $1 a day. Chasing a bubble. Chasing a bubble. Do you know what it had ultimately? It had 150 bathrooms and bedrooms and 2,000 doors and 47 fireplaces and 10,000 windows. And she left enough money to continue for another 80 years. And the house today, it's a tourist attraction. But what matters? And begs that question, what are we striving for? Because we are living in a world that is dominated by the expectations of what you have to do to succeed. Tony Blair came along and he stressed education. He said that would be the road to success. The Telegraph listed this week in one of its articles that some of the students are going to own £100,000 and they won't pay off their debt until they're 70 years of age by the amount of money they will earn as their wages. But that was the key to success. And then there are those who are saying, if you invest your money, you have financial security. But we've discovered the stock market can go in a moment. It's a bubble. And Jesus said this, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? That's Mark 8. For others, it's fame and popularity, either through sport. We pay these footballers and this enormous money. And if you watched the England game last night, we had one shot at goal that hit the crossbar. And they earn £250,000 a week. It's mad. Others have got it in music. Others have got it in film, in theatre. But they come and they go. You see? I could bring you here the evidence of a guy who's in prison for drug smuggling. Do you know what he was? An England cricketer. Where are we going? And here's something I've just brought to your attention. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. While the soap bubbles are bursting all around us, who can change your life? And I came to tell you, Jesus can. So here's my first point. I'm going to give you three statements. Number one, receive the Son of God as your Savior. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If I asked you here and gave you all a pen and a paper, draw me a crooked line on your paper, you wouldn't have one crooked line agreeing with the other. You'd all draw me something so different. They would not be identical. What's the lesson? There are so many ways to do what's crooked, but there's only one way to do straight. Correct? I do straight lines because I have a ruler. There's only one way to do straight, but there's lots of ways to do what's crooked. And faith and trust and believing in Jesus is the answer. You know, in the Old Testament, over 150 times, trust in the Lord with all your heart was the instruction. I go to my Bible, I turn up the Gospel and the New Testament, and I see it's equivalent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the most amazing, the most wonderful person in the whole world. The one who, while he was here on earth, was approachable and touchable and reachable. So people came to him at night. They came to him when he walked down the street. They came to him when he was by the seaside. And no one thought he was too holy or too divine to touch. That's something worth remembering. And next time you feel a failure, and the next time somebody says to you something that makes you feel inadequate and not right up, the important thing to know is what Jesus thinks. He comes where you are. And no matter who you are, because he knows that his grace and his power can change you. What happened to him was an outrage. It was an injustice. He was betrayed. The crowd was manipulated. There came the scourging and the spitting and the awfulness of being crucified and deserted by his friends, abandoned by everyone, enduring the pain of the spike nails, because he wanted to know something and wanted you to know something. And it was this, that God loves you. And God wants to change you. And God wants to make your life meaningful. And he wants to forgive your sin. And he wants to transform your life and make you what you ought to be. And one of the individuals who came up to him in the night walk was a guy called Nicodemus, a midnight encounter. He was one of the top guys of his day, one of the religious leaders of that generation. And yet he knew something was missing from his life. And he had an inner need, the bubble of bursting. He had questions about life that puzzled him, questions that left him feeling empty, alone and lost. And Jesus said, you know what the answer is? Be born again. You need to be born anew again. And the advice to Nicodemus hasn't changed. You see, here we are. It's the most basic thing of all. This is where we start. This is what will change things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Receive the Son of God as your Savior. Accept God's offer of forgiveness. Loners and losers are welcome. And Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost and the last and the least. Did you see the Spitfires go off? You know, they were going off to the air show. And I saw them again in the Southeast News. I saw the one Spitfire flying and remembered I was a boy. I was a boy. I heard those Spitfires in the air when I was a boy. And then as I grew older, I learned from the leaders and the politicians of the time that September, you know, what happened in history was this, that never did so many owe so much to so few. And I became a born-again man. And I became a pastor. And I realized never have so many owed so much to one man. And his name is Jesus. And I have spent my life trying to tell folk like yourself, here and all around the world, that when you receive the Son of God as your Savior, it's not a bubble that will burst. It's the most wonderful, exciting things. I've got to go on, look. Lean not on, trust in the Lord, and lean not to your own understanding. What is understanding? Let me give a quick definition. It's what I'm standing under. Got it? Understanding, standing under something. And the scripture says here, receive the Son of God, receive and read the Word of God. Lean not to your own understanding. You and I, we are living in a world that is dominated by deceit and lies. We boast about the self-made man. And there are so many confusing messages in our society, whether it's through the adverts, whether it's through the films, whether it's through the video clips, whether it's the games, the message over and over and over again that you can indulge yourself with whatever you please, whether it is sex or whether it is alcohol or it is drugs. You can spend your money how you want to spend your money. And then I come to this. Don't lean to your own understanding. And I read this in the earlier part of Proverbs. Don't assume you know it all. One of the things we tend to be able to constantly throw up is that we figure things out. And the trouble is we're not as smart as we think. Jeremiah the prophet made a comment like this. Let me give you in the NIV. It is not for a man to direct his own path. Today's message puts it like this. Men, mere mortals, can't run their own lives. Men and women don't have what it takes. And the Bible gives us God's view of life. The Bible gives us a directory of instructions. Want to go anywhere else? Go to Psalm 119. And the Bible imparts life, and it gives understanding, and it brings light. The Bible is more than a checkbook of doctrines to guide our faith. When you read God's word, it will dominate your life. It will create faith. It will produce change. It'll frighten the devil. It'll frighten the devil. The word of God will frighten the devil. Saying, this is what I'm believing. This is what I'm doing. You know what the word of God does? It heals hurts in our spirits. I follow a pattern of Bible reading. I was into Psalms 94 to 6 this morning. And in 21, I was in great anguish of soul and spirit. I wasn't well. You go and read it. And then I read it again this morning, and I put the date, 18:8:21, alongside of it. What did it say? Your consolations have taken away my anguish and my pain, and that which distresses me. You see, it'll heal your heart. It'll transform your circumstances. It imparts joy. It gives us hope. It cleanses our minds. It releases power. It helps us to defeat temptations. The Bible is milk. It's bread. It's food for our soul. You see, all the way through the Bible, you see how God's word will change you as it changed them. Acts says this, that God's gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be. That's Acts 20:32. Here's this translation of what the verse I've given you. Listen for God's voice. He's the one who'll keep you on track. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, in the morning, in the evening. You will change your life. and your attitude and your ability if you read the Word of God. Lean not to your own understanding. Stand under the Word of God. You see, it makes the difference. We accept what it has to say. We assimilate its truth. We have an open mind, and things change. There's a story about a king called Josiah. It's incredible. His grandfather, Manasseh, was a violent man. Here's what 2 Kings 21 says. He shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. Then he has a son. His name is Amon. He's Josiah's father. And he was just as bad. And he meets a very untimely end. He is assassinated by his own officers. And here's what 2 Kings 21 says. He did what God said was wrong. And this Josiah was an 8-year-old boy when he came to the throne. And you know, he was one of the greatest kings, one of the most blessed kings in the whole of Israel's history. Do you know what happened? One day, they went into the church, the temple. It was closed. There are cobwebs. There's debris. There's rubbish everywhere. And he sent some of his men in there, and they found a scroll. They found the Word of God. And they brought it out. And it was read to him. And the Word of God changed his life. He saw what it was, what we call the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's what it was. The first 5 books of your Bible. The Torah. And he saw what God's law said. And he saw what was happening. And Josiah now, the young man, the king, wanted to do so much, starts to weep. And he realized how far his people had drifted from God. And Josiah questioned, what's going to happen to us as a nation? What's going to happen to me as a king? What's going to happen in our world? And a lady preacher, Huldah, the prophetess, comes along and tells him, if you obey God, if you lean not under your own understanding, but under His, you follow His word, then the prophetess says, because of your repentance and your humility, you'll be spared, the nation will be spared, and a whole nation experience the grace of God. Why? Because one man read the Word of God and put it into practice. And Josiah left a legacy. I can't control the past, nor can you. But I can control the way I respond to God. I can choose the path that I take. I can determine my tomorrow. I can choose well. Others will be blessed because of what legacy I leave behind right across the world. And even now in the Ukraine, Igor is there and Daniel Chrisson, who stood here, are pushing resources through for the church. I got an email 2 days ago, and I wept in my study. I wept. He was to tell me how many are dead in Manipur. He was to tell me how many churches, 381 churches, have been burned to the ground. It was to tell me how many are displaced. And we're talking of approaching 60,000 people. And when I was in Bulgaria, we heard through the phone what was happening. And I had money in my wallet. And I gave it in your name. And on Tuesday, the brother told me, we took 30 sacks. 30 sacks. Hear me picture. Of rice to Koshadai. You heard and seen pictures of Koshadai. You saw what God did when I was preaching there in Koshadai. And 30 sacks of rice, and he told me of the other place. You want to know what my legacy is? It's because I've leaned not to my own understanding. I've walked understanding the word of God is sovereign over my head. And you will be blessed. You will do that. You will bless your family. You will bless the homeless. You will bless the children who never had a father. You will bless men and women and boys and girls and the neighbors and friends and family members when you know the Son of God and you receive the word of God. And the third thing is this: when you recognize the hand of God in all your ways, acknowledge him. God does work in all the things that are happening to us. The psalmist states, you've hemmed me in. You've laid your hand on me. Where can I go from your spirit? Let me tell you, I've been reading the biography of Billy Graham. I'm reading it some time back in a couple of the books. There was a London bus driver shuttling passengers to the Billy Graham meetings in Wembley. And one of the passengers invited him to come and listen, and he declined. And he moved to New York. And he was there when Billy Graham was speaking in Madison Square Gardens. And he got the same job taking people to the Billy Graham meetings. And again, he declined an invitation. He married an Australian lady. And he landed up in Sydney. And surprise, surprise, he gets another job. He's a bus driver again. And it's to take people to the stadium in Sydney where Billy Graham was preaching. And he gets another invitation. So he said, I better go. And he was confronted with the message and he committed his life to Jesus. And he said, it's the best decision I ever made. God followed him all the way around the earth to give him an opportunity to surrender his life. The most amazing story you will read in your Old Testament after you read about Josiah and the other kings is about a Jewish priest, a Jewish pastor, a Jewish preacher, a Jewish priest, a scholar. And he was born in captivity in Babylon. His name was Ezra. You can go home and you can look just in chapters 7 and 8. And you will see Ezra accomplished so much for God and for Israel in the most hostile environment when everything conspired to be against him. And as you follow the drama of the story, the life story, Ezra explains his success in the most humble phrase. He says, the good hand of the Lord was on me. Was on me. Without that assurance, he said, everything will fail. He was gifted. He was a scholar beyond scholars. The only other one I know better than him probably would be Paul. He had great vision. He had great ability. Yet he knew nothing would ever succeed without God's hand upon him. And he's pleading with the king, can I go back and rebuild? Can I go back to Israel? And the king said, well, I'll give you an escort. I'll give you a quaternion of soldiers. I'll give you a horse, a camel. No, I don't need them. God's hand will be upon us. And it is. You read it. Providing, protecting, encouraging, guiding. We call that an anthropomorphism. In other words, I am giving to God, you know, human terminology to explain how he works, how he's got the ability to act and respond. I don't mean that there's going to be an invisible hand that'll come out of the ceiling. I've got it up there in the loft. No, it's not going to be like that. It's an anthropomorphism, saying the hand of God. But I know when I gave away in Bulgaria, the hand of God was on me. And I got the vindication this week that hungry people were fed and homeless people were cared for and fellow believers were blessed. And they were blessed from a little church called Rochford in a nowhere kind of place. They got some rice. Why? Because the hand of God was upon me in Bulgaria. And I gave it in your name. And for their sakes. When I go through all of this, throughout the Bible, God wants this close, this personal. I've got to stop. This relationship with us. Do you know what? When my boy couldn't walk, and he never walked till he was nearly five, when my boy couldn't walk, and he was lying there and he wanted something, I lifted him up. I held him in my hands. I did it with all my other two children. You have done it with yours. You don't say, well, somehow, whoosh up in the air, and we'll bless you, we'll help you, we'll care for you, we'll dry your tears. We'll help. No, no. The child is contented. The child is comforted. When it's anxious, it's helped. When it's troubled, it's encouraged. When it's upset, it's guided. When it's unsure, how? Because dad's hand, mom's hand. And God stretches out his hand in love every moment of every day. He's going to make all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. And if you'll recognize when you go home this morning, because you have the Son of God and you're prepared to read and obey the Word of God, the hand of God will be upon you. I pray for nothing more. I pray for nothing less. Two of us bowed here earlier this day just to ask this, that not one of you would go home without knowing that the hand of God, it'll take away all your anxiety. It'll increase your joy. And you will know his leading and his blessing and his grace every day. In any and every situation, God will come through. If you will let these words change your life, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. But you will, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You receive the Son of God. You read the Word of God. And you respond to the hand of God on your life. Father, I place into your hands the things that I can't do. But I want you to go home knowing the hand of God is on you. And the Word of God is in you. And the Son of God is your Savior. Bow your head with me. You challenge us, Lord, again and again, because you want to change us and you want to bless us. Oh, put your hand. Oh, God, you put your hand on us. Put your hand on us afresh this morning and take us home. Leaning not to our own understanding, but understanding from your word. We're to be the men and women who can change the world. Go home, go in peace, go with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.